the working lunch, it's a bad habit, and getting worse. It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 13th day of June. Thanks, as always, for clicking through. Import prices fell last month. Might the Fed respond? The story of plastic grocery bags and adult cinemas. The word business hates more than anything is? Yeah, we'll tell you. More news from the speedy delivery war times two. Chain restaurants figure you want more. The spies have hit LinkedIn. Those stories in a Throwback Thursday conversation with Dr. Chris Draper about velocity economics. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, ntpda.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful, as always, that you've clicked through. Well, the three-martini lunch is gone. The power lunch, gone. Now, just going out to lunch is quickly fading. Chances are that you no longer go out to lunch with colleagues, friends, or business contacts. According to a new survey from Torque, millennials are three times as likely as baby boomers to worry that they'll be judged for taking a real lunch break. The generation, which makes up about 50% of the U.S. workforce now and is expected to grow to 75% by 2030, wants to take a break, yet they feel the pressure not to, as the survey statistics show. 62% of millennials would opt for a longer or more regular lunch break if possible, compared to 46% of baby boomers. 44% of millennials strongly agree they look forward to taking a lunch break. 16% of millennials would rather take a pay cut of 10% so they could take a lunch break every day. What? What's more interesting about all this, that the working lunch appears to cover all levels of employees, from the entry-level worker to the head honcho. Everybody is busier, and so out of the office, relaxing and ultimately rejuvenating lunch breaks that once was normal is starting to fade into oblivion. And that's supposed to be a good thing? Today, the Labor Department said import prices dropped by 0.3% last month. That's the biggest decline since last December. Data for April was also revised down to show import prices rising by 0.1% instead of climbing by 0.2%. In the 12 months through May, import prices fell by 1.5%. The report comes on the heels of data on Wednesday showing consumer prices remained tame in May, all of this supporting financial market expectations that the Fed will cut rates yet this year. While Canada will ban single-use plastic bags by 2021, you know, the ones that come from grocery stores, one grocer in Vancouver has found a way to shame customers into bringing reusable bags for shopping. Customers who don't bring in their own bags to East West Grocery in Vancouver will instead have to carry their groceries home in bags reading, quote, wart ointment wholesale, end quote, or into the weird adult video emporium, end quote. David Lee Quinn, the shop's owner, insisted the plan isn't meant to embarrass customers, but wanted them to think about what they were carrying around. Quinn initially hoped the fee on a single bag would discourage their use, but when the 5-cent a bag charge failed to stop people from using plastic, he tried a different approach. But the plan has an unintended consequence in that some customers actually want to collect the bags because of the unique messages. The bags, which Quan has run on limited numbers of 1,000, cost customers still 5 cents. It cost extra for him to print the newly designed bags, so he's hopeful that customers will instead opt to bring in their own. In the meantime, he plans to transfer the images on the plastic bags to canvas bags, saying he's found something so popular, so why not create what folks seem to want? You know, there's a word out there that business hates, and that word is uncertainty. But that is what business is getting when it comes to the trade policies of the Trump administration. Business groups have long supported GOP administrations until they find a way that they can't. Corporate America was blindsided last week when Trump threatened to impose crippling taxes on Mexican imports in a push to stop the flow of Central American migrants into the United States. Now, the two sides reached a truce Friday after Mexico agreed to do more to stop the migrants. But by Monday, Trump was again threatening the tariffs if Mexico didn't abide by an unspecified commitment, which he said will be revealed in the not-too-distant future. Such whipsawing is now a hallmark of Trump's trade policy. The president repeatedly threatens tariffs, sometimes imposes them, sometimes suspends them, sometimes threatens them again, or drops them altogether. Business groups already uncomfortable with Trump's attempts to stem immigration are struggling to figure out where to stand in the fast-shifting political climate. They have happily supported Trump's corporate tax cuts and moves to loosen environmental and other regulations, but Trump's use of tariffs has proved alarming. And you know that's true when the United States Chamber of Commerce, a longtime supporter of Republican policies, announced earlier this year that it would devote more time and attention to Democrats on Capitol Hill while raising the possibility of supporting them in 2020. Now, few expect the chamber or business-backed groups like the Koch Network to suddenly embrace Democrats in a significant way, but even a subtle shift to withhold support from vulnerable Republican candidates could make a difference in 2020. Uncertainty. It breeds strange bedfellows. Well, it's all about convenience. You want proof? In the latest salvo in the delivery wars, Target is offering same-day delivery on thousands of items for $9.99 an order through a delivery startup it purchased nearly 2 years ago. And the bet is that overworked families are going to pay up. Until now, Target shoppers looking to receive same-day delivery through Shipit had to go to the startup's website and pay $99 for an annual membership or $14 a month. Those options will still be available, but the discounter is making it easier by incorporating the Shipit feature on its website. Target says the same-day option will cover 65,000 items, and it will be fulfilled in 1,500 of its 1,800 stores in 47 states. Shoppers using Target's loyalty card will get that 5% discount. Meanwhile, in staying with speedy delivery, it might have seemed like science fiction just a couple of years ago, but a world filled with package-carrying drones zooming by overhead seems to be right around the corner. Last week, Amazon announced its Prime Air delivery service would start delivering packages in just a few months, and now comes word that Uber is planning to unleash its own fleet of drones in the near future. Uber is currently seeking FAA approval for drones that would be able to help deliver food to customers as part of the company's Uber Eats program. Now, if all goes according to plan, Uber is hoping to launch a pilot program of food delivering drones in San Diego sometime this summer. Now, to be clear, drones won't actually be delivering food directly to customers, but would rather be making deliveries to predetermined landing spots where Uber couriers would then carry out the final leg of the trip. Another use case scenario involves drones actually landing on top of parked Uber cars that would be identifiable via a QR code, and then they would be delivered to the address. Ah, for those flying burgers, right? Speaking of food, some chains out there are putting plans in place to expand their already large footprint, and we've got a list. Aggressive launches are being planned by Domino's Pizza. Now, they've just finished their largest expansion since 1988 by adding more than 250 locations, and the company says they're still in growth mode. Dave & Buster's is aiming for a second straight year of record store openings this year, with 16 locations slated to launch by late December. The chain, which combines entertainment and food, hopes to eventually double its store base to over 250 locations over time, and one is headed to the Des Moines, Iowa market soon. Shake Shack. Back in 2015, there were only 84 Shake Shack locations. Today, that total is over 200 stores, and the company is looking for more. Also, how about Dunkin' Brands? Dunkin' Brands added 278 new store locations in the U.S. last year, and it makes it one of the fastest-growing chains in the country. The donut and coffee specialist is aiming to launch between 200 and 250 stores in each of the next 3 years. Wingstop just added 100 locations to its restaurant base last year and crossed that 1,100-unit mark. Now, if the company can expand its home delivery model, it could allow the chain to eventually reach 2,500 locations around the country. That would represent a 135% increase from today's base. Jack in the Box currently operates over 2,200 locations across 21 states, but aims to add between 25 and 30 new restaurants to the footprint yet this year. We've got more. Hold on. Texas Roadhouse is planning to add between 25 and 30 new full-service dining locations this year. Burger King, no, really, Burger King, launched 100 new restaurants in the U.S. last year compared to 70 in the prior year, and the company has plans for even faster growth in the remainder of 2019. Popeyes, you know, chicken is hot, and the chain added 135 locations to its store base last year and plans for more this year. And then there is Starbucks. Last fiscal year, Starbucks increased its store count by 400, but a shift in target to less dense population areas means smaller stores with larger delivery options. So there you go, 10 restaurant chains that believe you want more. The Associated Press has an amazing article out about how spies have infiltrated LinkedIn. Here's an example from the report. There's a young woman on LinkedIn by the name of Katie Jones who has an impressive resume. The 30-something redhead boasted a job at a top think tank and a who's who network of pundits and experts from the centrist Brookings Institution to the right-wing Heritage Foundation. She was connected to a deputy assistant secretary of state, a senior aide to a senator, and the economist Paul Winfrey, who is being considered for a seat on the Federal Reserve. But Katie Jones doesn't exist. The Associated Press has determined instead the persona was part of a vast army of phantom profiles lurking on the professional networking site LinkedIn. Experts who reviewed the Jones profile's LinkedIn activity said it's typical for espionage efforts on the professional networking site, whose role as a global Rolodex has made it a powerful magnet for spies. British, French, and German officials have all issued warnings over the past few years detailing how thousands of people had been contacted by foreign spies over LinkedIn. In a statement, LinkedIn says it routinely took action against fake accounts, yanking thousands of them in the first 3 months of this year. It also said, quote, "We recommend you connect with people you know and trust, not just anyone," end quote. The Katie Jones profile was modest in scale with 52 connections, but those connections had enough influence that they gave the possible credibility to someone who accepted Jones's invites. The AP spoke to about 40 other people who connected with Jones between early March and early April of this year, many of whom said they routinely accept invitations from people they don't recognize. So let that be a lesson, Small Bear. Coming up, a throwback Thursday conversation with economist Dr. Chris Draper about something he calls velocity economics. Now, if you want a definition of that, think trickle-down economics, but way on the other side of the coin. And he says it has and will work. Coming up, Dr. Chris Draper on the Business News Hour.